Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to this episode of the Calypso Cigar Review Podcast, episode
66.
Get your kicks on
Route 66. Blow me up, dog. 66. That was good. Not bad.
And today we have a special guest,
Brian Holdsworth.
Brandon Holdsworth.
I'm sorry, Brian.
Once again, I am Brian Holdsworth.
No, the great Brandon Holdsworth from House Familio as Rezaian, Guayacan.
No, man, 1502, just right. A bunch of good stuff.
And we're going to be smoking the Guayacan today.
Yes, sir.
Donated to us very generously by the great Brian/Brandon Holdsworth. And
lovely looking band on this.
Brandon will give you the deets on this.
It is the Toro size, which is 6x52.
Mm-hmm.
The makeup of this, obviously, it's a country of origin is Nicaragua,
yep,
as most of the stuff from House Familio is. Factory is the Guayacan Cigars LLC. Wrapper, Ecuadorian Habano. Binder, Nicaraguan Corojo 98. And the filler, Nicaraguan Corojo 98. We like the Corojo.
We do like the Corojo from Nicaragua.
That's absolutely good stuff.
And I'm going to cut with our Altadis, or I'm sorry, our Monte Cristo cigar cutter donated to us by Altadis USA and the great Eddie Gavito. You know Eddie. The great Eddie Gavito.
Prince of a man.
Angel of guy. He only was on our show for like 3 minutes, but yeah, he was awesome.
Super nice guy.
Yeah.
And the retail price on this MSRP is like $650, so it's a cheapie.
And to be honest, we've all smoked it. Have you smoked it?
I have not smoked
it.
It's
been my first time. Smoked it. Mm-hmm. And it's become Matt's new cigar.
So that's always a good sign when you get Matt to like something.
Mm-hmm. Great stick, great price.
Yeah. Ooh, the cold draw is pretty unique, actually.
Mm-hmm. Cold draw was wide open. It had a lot of spicy.
It's like a
cedar.
Sweet.
Almost a sweet, spicy
almost
cedar.
Almost like a sweet and tip sweet.
Wow. Okay, wow. So there is an awesome story behind Guayacan Cigars. I mean, we all know the House of Emilio, and it's a great organization that's really donating some stuff. What?
No.
You know how to cut?
No, the band. The foot band.
The foot band glue. Okay. But tell us the story about Guayacan itself, because there's an amazing story about the guy that rolls this or blended this cigar.
Well, I was in Nicaragua in March, and we go up to the factory, to Noel's factory. And you know, I'm a Texan. Mm-hmm. And we walk up to the factory, and Noel walks out. He's about 5'5", 5'6", but he's just jacked. Boom.
Really?
In Texas, he'd be the guy that drove the F-250 with the 6-inch lift. So I walk up, I'm like...
Well, you had the balls hanging off the...
Yeah, the blue ones.
Yeah, mm-hmm. The ball game. Cool.
And I walk up, and I'm thinking, oh, brother. All right, this is the little jacked guy. But he walked up to me, and he's jacked. I mean, mm-hmm. he's a buff dude.
All right.
And he walks up and he's like, hi, my name's Noel Rojas. It is a pleasure having you at my factory. And if there is anything at all that you need, please tell me and I'll have it done. And I thought, okay, we're definitely not in Texas. This is a good dude.
Toto, we're not in Texas.
He was living in Cuba. And if you're a Cuban citizen, you can't have Cuban tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
So he was ferreting away Cuban tobaccos, and he was rolling them at his house and selling them to his friends.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, man. I mean, you can't get a cigar if you're a Cuban citizen. That's some BS.
That's weird.
How ridiculous is that?
So the government got on to him.
That's like being a Texan, but you can't have steak.
Yeah.
Or beer.
Or beer.
Yeah.
And they were going to put him in jail for like 5 years, and I think what they were charging him with was intent to commit capitalism.
Which, wow. Kill that guy. Cut his fucking head off.
Right, yeah. Wow. That's crazy.
So he talks to some dudes. Yeah. And he pays them $1,500 or $5,000, and they say, hey, when it's time for you to leave, you better be ready.
Mm-hmm.
5 o'clock in the morning, they knock on his door, and he is in Mexico City.
Nice.
And he is pretty much, I'll be honest, leaving your country, that's a huge deal.
It is. That's a big deal. Yeah. Hell, even your state can be a big deal, you know? Imagine if you had to move to North Carolina. That's a funny story later we'll tell.
I wouldn't go. But he gets to Mexico, gets his paperwork in line, and when he left his house, I mean, he left his house with the jeans he had on, probably, you know, T-shirt and shoes, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And made his way to Nicaragua, started rolling for other people. Started buying tobaccos and rolling cigars in his living room. And the next thing you know, he's got a small factory, which turns into a medium-sized factory. And when I went down, you could see he was adding on two more additions, making himself a good-sized factory. And this guy is the definition of what Americans used to be in the 1700s. I mean, he doesn't have a, you know, he's not living his life through a video game. He came from, he had nothing, and he is.
His fingers are dirty when he goes to sleep at night. Yeah, because he's been working
like
hard.
Like a farmer.
Yeah. He took us through every bit of production that he had going on, and it was, you know, he rolls. Mm-hmm. He does. He gets in with everything. He has a hand in everything that happens in that factory, and I was completely impressed by him. And just a really good dude. And the cigars are great. The price points are excellent. Mm-hmm. And just a really outstanding operation considering how long he hasn't been around.
Right.
Just impressive human being.
I like the way you said that. You saw people like how little they've been around. You were like how long he hasn't been around. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. But so far, this is a spicy cedar bomb.
It's lots of yummy cedar.
Have you retrohaled yet?
I have.
I almost died.
Yeah, it's nice.
But I was able to fight through it. But man, this is a tasty stick.
I dig it, man.
And we do carry it here at Calypso, so you can call us at 972-761-9903, and we will hook you up with some sort of special.
And of course, we are at the Calypso Cigar Shopping Lounge in Richardson, Texas. We haven't said that yet.
No, we haven't.
If you are
going to be in the Richardson area and would like to be in a live film casting, contact Randy or Brandon Luna, and we'll get some chairs in here. And the price is just a case of beer to sit in and join us.
That's exactly right. Well, case and a half.
Case and a half.
There you go. You know, buy a cigar.
Because Nate drinks a lot.
Yeah.
Now, we love Nate. Nate is our Wilson. If you see him, you only see kind of part of his face, but he's in the background. But Nate does a lot for the show, and we really appreciate Nate so much. And that's all I'm going to say about Nate, because I'm tired of complimenting him.
You guys are getting way too emotional on me, and we're on the verge.
Hey, we haven't even told our story, our emotional love story that we've got going on.
We need some violins kicking.
Yeah, we do. Play Green Day's, what's it called?
Time of Your Life.
Yeah, Good Riddance. Yeah, but Green Day. That's what we need to be playing in the background. But anyway, I wish we could have music in the background. That would be so awesome.
Mm. Kurt does it. I mean,
I know. But I don't know.
Yeah.
Remember freaking iHeartRadio won't play our Pedro episode because you put... But, okay, Pedro Haley. You know Pedro. You've met Pedro.
Yes. Good dude.
He's Bill Haley's son. Bill Haley of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Godfather of rock and roll.
Mm-hmm. Okay. They did the song After the Fire and Feel Like Making Love.
No, that was Bad Company. He did a little song called Rock Around the Clock that I think sold like 30 million records, so you probably haven't heard it.
Yeah, he wrote it for Happy Days, right?
He wrote it for Happy Days, yes. Anyway, so on iHeartRadio, that episode doesn't appear because we play that song in the background. Even though we have permission from the Haley family, they won't play it because they feel like it might be copyright infringement.
Yep.
And so that episode does not appear on iHeartRadio.
We actually fought YouTube for that, too.
Yeah, that's right. YouTube pulled us off.
We put it up on YouTube. It got pulled down, and they're like, rights violation, and here's the people that are saying you're, you know, doing this.
Yeah, this publishing company says you're in violation. So I called Pedro, and I said, have you ever heard of this publishing company? He's like, no. I'm like, you've given us permission, right? You'll put it in writing if it comes down to it? He goes, yeah, I gave you guys total permission to do that song. It was a live version. It wasn't the record. It was the live version, which totally the family completely owns. There's no record company involved. There's no anything involved. But yeah, iHeartRadio will not play it. Nice. Did you retrohale? Is that what you did? Yeah. That'll get you. This is a tasty bomb. A lot of flavor. Mm. Yeah. So, do we want to elaborate more in this first segment, or do we want to take a break and have a long second segment?
Elaborate more on what?
Let's just wrap.
We've got stories, man.
You got stories?
We've got stories.
Well, as long as we're keeping it at 20, that's fine. Okay. I got an editing issue, so 20 is the limit on
this
segment.
Oh, yeah.
Got
to edit this thing, because
my editing software is doing the stupid shit where it's like anything over 20 minutes, you only get 20 minutes. So, yeah. I put the raw footage in there. It only sees the first 20 minutes. Anything after that, it's gone. I can't get in there anyway, anyhow.
Are you doing this on your iPhone?
No, I'm doing it at home on my computer.
No, is that the software Matt bought?
No, it's a different software.
Okay.
Well, that software that Matt got only does audio. It doesn't do video.
That's right. Okay.
I have to get my own software.
All right. So on the episode with Blind Man's Puff where we talked about the FDA thing, which, by the way, the CRA has a form letter. If you go on Facebook and you go to Blind Man's Puff, they just posted it yesterday. Go in. I don't care. It's set up as though you're a tobacconist, but you can reword or, you know, rewrite the wording and make it as though you're a consumer. Or if you are a tobacconist, but do that. I've done it. I know Brandon's done it.
I'm sure
Brandon's going to do it, or if he hasn't already. But please do it. It's an important issue. they're infringing upon not just cigar smoking, but freedom in general. And we're not saying that like we're Fox News and we're trying to be no, they are infringing on personal freedoms. So fight it, people.
But they already said the White House released a statement that said there's no way the FDA is not going to get involved.
Yeah.
And, you know, this isn't red meat.
No.
This isn't
donuts.
Raw chicken.
Yeah.
This is cigars. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this is something that should be left alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because if the price points go up, you're going to be mail ordering everything from other countries mm-hmm. instead of being able to go into your favorites.
Yeah, and so the government will then lose tax dollars.
Yep, and the B&M experience goes away, which is awesome. You got to have the B&M experience. You want to be able to sit in a shop and smoke your cigars with your buddies. I mean, yeah, that's part of life.
Some lies.
Yeah, you know, we don't have a lot of listeners. No, I'm joking. We actually do have a lot of listeners. But we've had a few listeners that have contacted me, and I think have contacted you, and mm-hmm. said they love our show because it feels like they're sitting in a B&M on a Friday night hanging out with their buddies. And there's no bigger compliment at all than that. That's exactly what we set out to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have that opportunity to actually physically sit in a B&M and smoke with your buddies, then our show becomes worthless because you don't understand that feeling.
Yeah.
And that's such an important feeling. And you guys were here, what, 2-3 weeks ago with you and Nate and Todd showed up. And we just had a ball sitting in this lounge smoking cigars. You didn't try to sell anything. Nate didn't try to sell anything. We talked movies. We talked chicks. We talked girls. You know, girls and chicks, whatever. But we just had a ball. Yes, younger girls. But we had a ball, and I live for those moments. I hate it when I'm at the store and I get off work and nobody comes in the lounge. I hate those days. That's why Nate is so important to me. I love you, man!
Last week I was in Arizona, mm-hmm. and you know, this is a territory that I've never worked in mm-hmm. before, and mm-hmm. when it comes to brick and mortars, you know, it's all free thinking, free speech.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I can actually see why the government would want to get rid of it.
Yeah.
You have a bunch of guys, no matter what religion or whatever, being able to talk and disagree, and you know, there might be the occasional, you know, go to hell or mm-hmm. whatnot, but for the most part, you know, I'm walking into these stores that I don't know anybody. You know, mm-hmm. if you're in my territory up to this point, I know you well enough that I can say something that might be off color and we'll all laugh about it.
Right.
But when you walk into a territory that you don't know and you can look over and say something to the guy and know that unless it is completely off, that he's going to look at you, and you can walk into
he makes an instant impression. He already figures out exactly what
he knows you're comfortable. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's a good place. Yeah. And, you know, mm-hmm. you can walk into any, I'd say 90% of cigar shops, sit down and join in on a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And have a blast. And if you disagree, don't agree, whatever,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't matter because you're all smoking a cigar and you're having a good time. And there's always that common ground. You can always go from whatever the heated debate is to, what do you think about that cigar? What are you smoking? Rocky Patel. Sweet, man. I remember my first Rocky, blah, blah. It's like this automatic saving grace for any conversation you're having.
Okay, and how much nut kicking do you and I give each other?
Oh, yeah,
whether
we're
on the air or not on the air, we kick each other in the balls all the time. And if you're a dude, you realize that nut kicking is part of the friend process.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm about to kick this guy in the nuts really hard.
Whenever I walk into my the retail store that I came from, the mm-hmm. manager always looks up. And, you know, I guess it's funny if you haven't heard it 1,000 times, but every time I walk in, he
talking about Elliot?
Up. Bob.
Bob, okay.
Bob will look up and go, "Hey, everybody, look, it's a dick with ears." You're going to take some punishment, but you know what? If you're quick enough, you might be able to deal some back.
Absolutely.
And everyone laughs.
Absolutely. And anyway, so on our FDA episode, Brandon mentioned that he should not be, or that I should not be speaking to him. And he's right. Should never have spoken to this dude in my life. No, I'm joking. But, this is an interesting... We said we would tell the story, and we've only got like 5 minutes, so this will be short for Brandon and Nate's
sake. Let's wait until...
You want to tell that later?
Yeah, tell it in the next segment. That'll be
all right.
This is the tease for the next segment.
Absolutely, okay.
You can hear a personal
story. Like
can I tell my cheap...
On a very special episode of Calypso's Cigar Review.
As we walk down memory lane.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Do we quote the Bible in the show?
No, I was quoting Gangster's Paradise.
Okay, nice. Okay, all right.
Was that the Bible?
I like Amish Paradise better myself. I'm more of a Weird Al fan than I am a...
Tell the wildflower thing.
Okay, so Richardson, Texas is famous for one thing really other than us. I mean, really, that's the reason why people know Richardson
is
us.
Snuff porn.
Snuff porn has a lot to do with it. But no, they do a Wildflower Festival, which is awesome. And I think they draw, it's a 3-day event. They draw over 60 to 70,000 people at this thing. They draw big name bands, small bands. I mean, it's not just for the, but the main thing is the big bands. And last night was a Foghat, which I didn't get to see Foghat. I got there just as they were ending with Slow Ride, which that's really all you want to see Foghat for, you know? Yeah. So then, I went and found Matt. Matt and Mary were already there. And we were sitting in our designated cigar location, which they don't really have, but we kind of created our own. And Joan Jett was playing, and Matt knew nothing about Joan Jett. Well, I'm a child of the 80s. I know who she is.
Runaways.
But I'm like, it's Joan Jett. Really? I love rock and roll.
What was the big song from the Runaways?
I don't remember any stuff from the Runaways.
Cherry Bomb.
Oh, yeah, Cherry Bomb, she did that last night.
I bet she did.
That was great, yes. So she starts playing, and I'm kind of, we're sitting over, we can't see the stage from where we're sitting. We're sitting in this area behind the stage, kind of. And all of a sudden, she starts doing Cherry Bomb. And I'm like, I have to get up and see this, because this is Joan Jett doing Cherry Bomb live. And she sounded great. And she's tiny. And she's like, I don't know, 5'2", 5'3". She's a little tiny girl.
Spinner.
Yeah. Yep. But still hot. No boobs, but still hot.
I'd tag it just to let everybody know.
But you done Jet.
I did Joan Jett. I changed Joan Jett's religion.
Yep.
And
choked her with her own leather jacket.
She was full of energy. She was full of heart. She told interesting stories. She tells a story that she was on the beach when Hurricane Sandy hit in the Jersey, New York area, wherever that was. She had to live through that. I mean, she was running for cover. Great story. And she just jammed, and then of course she, what a great closing four numbers between I Love Rock and Roll, Crimson and Clover, I Hate Myself for Loving You, and I've been drinking, so I can't remember the fourth one, but it's like, that is the way you close a show if you got those kind of four big hits. That's awesome. But I went there for Cheap Trick. That's the reason why I went, because Cheap Trick was going to follow her. And she did nothing but praise Cheap Trick. Apparently, she's opened for Cheap Trick numerous times in her career. And they come out, don't address the audience for 40 minutes. Festivals are different. If I pay $100 to go see a band, that means I know the band, and I know their album cuts, and I want to hear the album cuts. When you're playing for 40,000 people, 30,000 people, maybe 6,000 of them are your fans. The rest of them just came to hear I Want You to Want Me and Surrender and Ain't That a Shame? And, you know, that's what they're here to
see some boobs and get drunk.
And they did album cut after album cut after album cut after album cut. And then finally they were like, oh, we're going to do a song. Y'all know this is a song from that 70s show that we did. Really? That's what you're going to try to keep? Because people were flocking out of there.
Wow.
And I tried to talk several people. Don't leave. Don't leave. They're going to get the good stuff. They're going to get the good stuff. I finally got bored and went, I'm out of here. So get a chance to see Cheap Trick. Unless you are a huge Cheap Trick fan and you know every album cut, don't go see Cheap Trick. They sucked. But I will go see Joan Jett every opportunity I get. If someone says, hey, Joan Jett's in town, I will pay money and go see Joan Jett. She put on a hell of a show, and I'm not a fan. And I actually bought on iTunes her Greatest Hits album because she blew me away. She was incredible.
Cool. A couple years ago, I was working at Three Forks, the restaurant.
Yeah.
And one of the DJs, Russ Martin, gave me 6 tickets to see Iron Maiden, Motorhead, and Dio.
Mm-hmm.
And I took my little sister, I took 4 of my buddies from the restaurant, and all the way down there, everybody was like, Ronnie James Dio sucks. And, you know, they were like, Rainbow in the Dark is a gay song. And I'm like, look, man, whatever your opinions are, I don't care. Ronnie James Dio is one of the greatest musicians who ever lived.
Go see him.
I don't care about sexuality. None of that means anything. This was just, you know, ignorance, trying to insult. And my little sister, she never heard one song. She was 17.
Mm-hmm.
So we get down and Motorhead's playing.
Mm-hmm.
And I loved Motorhead. Yeah, and Motorhead. I still love some Motorhead. And they are so loud. And man, this is 11 years ago now. Damn, time's flying. But finally, I'm like, I don't know. I don't even know if they're playing music or they're warming up. And finally, Lemmy's like, Ace of Spades. Yeah. And I thought, Ace of Spades, I know this one.
Exactly.
Yeah. Motorhead leaves the stage, and we're getting ready for Dio. And all of a sudden, this huge Native American dude starts skipping through the crowd. And one of my buddies He's a U.S. Marine, former drill instructor. He's now no longer with the Marines. And the Indian, who's Native American, I guess, forgive me, I'm not completely politically correct. But
I have 2/16 in, or so I'm an 8th Indian, so you can call them Indians, I don't care. On.
Thank you. Thank you for your forgiveness.
No, you're welcome.
Feathers, not dots. And he's come skidding through the crowd, and he flicks something at my boy, Ken, the former Marine drill instructor, and it is a doobie that's the size of my little finger. Mm. And it was like we went into slow motion. Ken looks down, and he holds up this fat joint, and he goes, "What should I do with this?
You got a dart in your throat."
Yeah. I come back, and I'm like, "You smoke it." I don't party anymore, but we sat there, and we just got totally blazed up, and the four guys that went with us who all trashed Ronnie James Dio as soon as he put on such an amazing show that, you know, Rainbow in the Dark hit, and we were all standing up with horns, and my 17-year-old sister, she went back and saw him two more times before he finally passed.
Sweet. You know, yesterday was the 4-year anniversary of his death.
He was an amazing
man. And I'm not a heavy metal guy. I mean, I like parts of it. I mean, there's elements of all music that I like. But metal is tiny. Rap is even tinier. But I love Dio. I've been a huge fan of Dio since the 80s. And, I mean, Holy Diver. I mean, how do you not like Holy Diver? It's one of the greatest songs
of all time. When
they get
on it in that song, oh, man. That's like that part in Rock, and forgive me, I don't want to go from B-52s to, you know, Ronnie James, but there's that part where they just
I was going to go further than that, but anyway, go ahead, yeah.
They get on it, and you're just like, oh, yeah, here it comes. You just want to get all funky and start, you know, kind of get on it.
I know we're going long, but I have a buddy who is a huge big band fan, you know, 40s, 50s, big band stuff, and hates heavy metal. And I played him the Pat Boone version from the Pat Boone heavy metal album of Holy Diver.
Greatness.
And but he does it big band style. And I said, he knew nothing of the song. He didn't know who was doing the song or anything. And about 2 minutes in the song, he goes, "It's one of the best records I've ever heard in my life." Wait, Pat Boone actually nails. And you know, Dio sings backup on that with him.
I know he lost his show on the Christian Channel.
Yeah, because he did that. Yeah, he did. But Dio found out that Pat was recording it on his birthday and showed up at the studio, and Ronnie James Dio sang backup on Holy Diver with Pat Boone. How freaking cool is that?
Cool. At that point, you can die.
Yeah, you're like, exactly.
I've done everything.
Yeah, it's cool. Both of them could have died. Pat Boone could have said, "I'm singing with Dio." Dio could have said, "I'm singing with Pat Boone."
We're
done.
Good.
We're good. Okay, we've run long.
Yeah, we have. Got to do night right now. Well, all right, we'll be back for the second third. And we are back for segment two of the Guayacan.
Guayacan.
Guayacan, Guayacan, tomato, potato.
Guayacan, Guayacant.
Guayacan, yeah. Are you a Guayacan or a Guayacant?
Now, as a cigar rep, when you were 16 years old, first time you got laid, the worst thing you could possibly do was roll over and look at the girl and go, "What'd you think?" Because you opened yourself up to extreme criticism, yes, which I learned.
Exactly. Yes.
And Jeanette Harrigan, I hope you roast in hell.
But, you know, do you think we do? We do reviews, so therefore we're opening ourselves up every time we put out one of these things to people saying we're dumbasses or idiots.
She was 16, and when she opened it up, you thought she was about 38.
Yeah.
Nice.
So what do you guys think so far?
It's tasty, man.
Man, it's a tasty flavor bomb. It's got a ton of power.
The cedar's kind of trailed away from the first third to me, but it's gotten more complexity to it. So the cedar's kind of gone, but the spice is there.
There's some nice sweet notes.
Yeah, there's some very sweet notes to it. That's what I was really surprised about. Like
honestly. Sweetie spice, but this
you
is tasting not
the Corojo 98?
Yeah. I mean, this is a Corojo cigar. There's no doubt.
Totally
about it.
Is. I mean, totally.
I could blind. Excuse me. Sorry. Beer.
It starts with a huge amount of flavor, and then for me, it calms and it becomes a gentleman's cigar that's not going to ruin your palate for the rest of the
Day. For sure.
But yet it's got that, like I said, I could have blind smoked this and guessed Corojo. This just reeks of Corojo.
I love it.
And it's
Corojo
awesome.
Corojo tasty.
Yeah.
So, good stuff.
So far, so good.
You guys pick some winners, man.
Over at House of Emilio. I have yet to have a House of Emilio cigar that I didn't think was at least an 8 out of 10. And I you know, we tend to be fairly generous because we do respect the cigars we're smoking.
Yeah.
If we don't like it, we will tell you it's not one of our favorites in the Rocky or, Private Cellar.
Well, not for us, but it might be for somebody else.
Yeah. If you don't like it, you also need to say it because too many of these.
No, we do. We will say it. The Rocky Private Cellar, neither one of us liked that. Mm-hmm. And we've told people.
I do like the Sun Grown.
But we will tell you that it still might be something for you. It just wasn't something for us.
Yeah. And that's the thing is, I mean, you're talking about a palate, and just because we don't like it doesn't mean someone else isn't going to like it.
Yeah. I mean, tons of people like mushrooms. I hate mushrooms.
I love mushrooms.
But I'm sure you like mushrooms, and I know Nate loves mushrooms. So I'm definitely in the minority, but it doesn't mean... I know you smoke them, too.
That's
because
of that Indian thing we're talking about.
Chew them. Eat them.
You're an eighth Indian.
But I am an eighth Indian.
I'm probably more than that.
The minority.
Yeah, it does. That's why I'm in the minority, yes, because I'm an eighth Indian. Okay, well, since you just were an asshole, mm-hmm. let's talk about the first time you were ever an asshole in my life.
All right. My first ever cigar rep job.
Should have been mine.
Yeah. Well, the thing was, is it was Villiger Cigars, and, you know, they're a great company, and I...
We carry them still in the store?
I'm doing the interview, and... Months later, I'm still waiting to find out what's going on.
That was the longest interview process I've ever been through.
It was interviewed in November, didn't get the job till February 13th.
Yeah. Wow.
And so...
And we found out on, like, February 6th.
That they were making a decision.
Right. Yeah.
So they're telling me it's between you and another guy, but they don't tell me the guy's name. They don't tell me what store he's at. Not that I was going to stalk him, but I might have.
Right.
Because I wanted a job, and I wanted into this industry. So yeah. I get the job... I'm totally psyched, and they don't tell me where or who, you know, I mean, this is, you know, if you're walking in...
Who's the other guy? I need to know.
I need to know. So I'm pulling up here at Calypso, and my old boss, Kevin Spann, calls me up, and he's like, Brandon, where are you at now? I go, I'm going into Calypso, and he's like, good, good. Just to let you know, the guy that you were up against was at that store, and I've got to call on the other line, have a good day.
So, that's the part of the story that I only found out like 3 weeks ago.
I'm sitting in the parking lot, and I'm thinking... Oh, shit. This guy had to hang on for like 5 months just like I did.
To not get the job.
I'm walking into a situation that could be hostile if it was anybody else. So I sat in the car for like 20 or 30 minutes, and finally I'm like, Brian, you need to sack it up, go in, meet this guy. I walk in, and I don't know who it is, because he doesn't tell me anybody's name. So I'm walking in, and, you know, I don't know Randy, I don't know Matt, and I walk in, and Randy's, man, good, you know, you're on your Villiger rep, good to meet you, and I'm like, obviously it's not this guy, this guy's way too cool. He probably doesn't like the doucher that I got the job for.
Right.
And all of a sudden, Matt walks in, and Randy's like, hey, Matt, good to see you. And Matt just pile drives right past us, right into the office. And I'm like, it must be Matt Badowski. It must be Matt. I don't know the dynamic. I don't
know. You didn't know he's the owner. You don't know who anybody is.
And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, just thinking, okay, this isn't going so hot. Mm-hmm. All right, damn. And then Randy goes, hey, man, just to let you know, I was the guy that you were up against for the Villiger job. And I'm like, oh, shit. I don't even know what to say to this. You know, we're in crisis situations all the time. Yeah. And he looks at me and he goes, we're not going to, you know, just because you got the job, I congratulate you, good work. And I'm just thinking, okay, he's not spitting at me. You know, because I would have been pissed.
Right.
And right there I thought, okay, we're cool. But what's up with Matt? And we sit down with Matt, and Matt lets me know for 35 minutes how Randy should have got this job. All I could do is, I don't know what to say, so just go with it. I'm like, yeah, Randy's much cooler than me. Randy's a sharper dresser than me. He's much smarter than me.
You know what? Okay, so just so I don't come off looking like the saint of the cigar industry, although I kind of am, but anyway, nevertheless. Everyone knew that I was up for this job, because the only reason why I started working for the store was to get a cigar rep job. Mm. And Matt needed help. I mean, that was 10% of it. But 90% of it was, dude, I'm a super salesman. I'll work for Matt for a year. I'll get a cigar rep job in a heartbeat. It won't be any big deal. And we all know that that's a very hard thing to do. So here was my one chance. I'm going to get a cigar rep job. And on that Friday before you got the job offer, I got a call from Kevin, which I found out you got the exact same call, which isn't cool, but Kevin is a cool dude.
He's a good dude.
But it's an interview. It's a process. So, you know, there's give and play, and you can't be too too critical of that. So I got a call from Kevin. I remember I was driving, and he called me, and I was so excited because he was supposed to tell me that. So I pulled over, because I don't ever answer my phone when I'm driving.
That's good.
So I pulled into a parking lot, and I answered, but it was too late. So I called him immediately right back, and he goes, "Hey, Randy, I got really good news. It's between you and another guy, and I'm going to lean towards you. And I just want to let you know that we're probably going to make you an offer on Monday." So, man, I went to the liquor store, and I came back to this store, and we all toasted and celebrated, and I was getting the rep job. Matt was happy for me. A couple of customers were pulling for me. I had the job. It was a done deal. Well, Monday, I hear nothing.
Which is typical.
And I'm like, what the fuck? So Matt's like, so did you get the offer? I'm like, no, I haven't heard anything. Just call him right now. I'm like, well, no, he said he'd call me on Monday. It's still Monday. I'm not going to call him. I said, I will call him first thing in the morning. So I call him first thing in the morning, and he doesn't answer.
Typical.
Yeah. So then
Not just Kevin, but of anybody.
Anybody, yeah, absolutely. So then I texted him. I'm like, hey, just checking in. I thought I was going to hear from you yesterday, and, you know, still excited about the opportunity. Hope you're considering me, blah, blah, blah. Nothing. Wednesday morning, nothing. So I called again, and he answered. And he's like, yeah. He goes, we didn't. He goes, the only reason why we were waiting was that we'd already made a guy an offer on Monday, and we wanted to see if he was going to accept it before we told you what was going on.
I accepted it on Monday.
Mm. Yeah, but I don't find out till Wednesday. So anyway, so I'm like heartbroken. I'm pissed. I'm like, oh, this would have been fucking great. This is what I wanted to do. I'm so pissed off. This sucks ass. Yeah, I was a V. Nate's showing me that I was a V. But anybody would have been a V in this circumstance.
Hell yeah.
I mean, this is what I wanted.
You needed a prom date. Yeah. And, you know, maybe it wasn't the exact girl you wanted to take to prom. Because maybe she wasn't
going to put out. But nevertheless.
But she didn't know.
But yep. Anyway, so.
She had a peg.
Everyone here at the store was like, and Matt was like, I'm pulling Villiger out of the store. I'm like, don't pull Villiger out of the store. I mean, it sells here. And it was an interview process. I didn't make the cut. I said, I got close. I said, and that sucks. I wish they'd have told me earlier than stringing me along for 3 days. But other than that, who hasn't this happened to in life? It's happened to people. So anyway, so then I get a call one day, and it's from Brandon. And he's like, hey, I'm Brandon Holtzworth. And this is when you knew nothing. And at the time, I didn't know that you didn't know. Mm-hmm. And I get a call, and it's from Brandon. And Brandon's like, yeah, hey, I'm the new Villiger rep. And I'm like, oh. I'm like, yeah.
This guy can die.
And he's like, I wanted to stop in and see you guys and introduce myself. And I said, yeah, well, come on in. And I said, we'll be here. And I hang up the phone, and Davis, one of our friends, who's been on the show many times, sitting there, and he's like, what's the matter with you? And I'm like, oh, dude, the fucking Villiger rep is coming by the store.
His voice sounds like he's a huge douche.
I didn't think that, but I found that out later once I met you.
I'm really transparent.
Yeah, but anyway, so he's like, oh, dude, that's going to suck. And I'm like, it is what it is. And he's like, dude, I can't be here. I got to leave. I'm like, no, I need you here, man. Stay here for me. I need somebody here that's on my side. Because Matt's on your side. I'm like, yeah, okay. So anyway, you walked in, and you were as professional as you could be. I mean, you're one of the best salespersons I've ever known in my life. And man, I was politically correct without even trying. I said salespersons. Anyway, so now I'm going to get cigars because I'm such a cool dude.
Hell yeah.
You walk
professional
in.
Professional people.
Thank you, sir. Not a bribe, just a token.
I love you.
So anyway, so Brandon comes in, and I figured it's not his fault. I'm just going to talk to the dude. I'm not going to be a dick, even though he's living my life.
Poison Ivy style.
So anyway, so you walk in, and I could tell you were nervous, but you weren't really nervous yet. You were just kind of nervous, which anytime you're on a new sales call at all, if you're not nervous, it's kind of like if you're a performer. If you're not nervous when you start to perform at all, then you're not a good performer or a good salesperson.
You don't give a shit.
You have to be nervous. And so I could tell you were nervous, and I thought, but then I saw all of a sudden, and I don't know what your thought process was, but all of a sudden I could tell you got really nervous. And you were like Don Knotts with a piece of paper. You're handing me the price sheet, and your hands are like this. And I went, I have to rescue this guy. This guy is suffering, and he has no reason to be suffering. So I did. I said, hey, I guess you know it was between you and another person, and I'm the other person, and don't think that I have any hard feelings towards you, dude. It was a process and everything. And boy, your hand steadied. And you told me, and I'll never forget this, and you've honored this. You've lived up to this. Mm-hmm. So he is an honorable guy.
Unlike Spencer Drake. Go ahead.
Or Todd Vance, just because I like to kick Todd Vance in the nuts. Anyway, but so you were like, dude, you have no idea how much that means to me, and you'll always be one of my favorite people in this business, and you have made my life so much better just because you were honest and you put yourself out there, and you've honored that, and I've enjoyed every time. And you've texted me about jobs. You've told me about jobs.
I told you.
You've called me about jobs.
I would do everything in my power.
You got me a job. Or I would have had to move to North Carolina, which wouldn't have been a bad deal. It would have been North Carolina, which wouldn't. It would have been a bad deal.
Got him a rep job in Antarctica.
No, you didn't. I would have had to move to North Carolina, which would have been fine, except for I would have been out of a job in 6 months because that's when they got rid of all their salespeople.
Yeah.
And I remember I tried to do you the same favor back because you got me the job when things didn't line up the way we had discussed, and I had certain issues that I needed to, and they agreed to, and then last minute they changed, and I knew that was going to put you in a bad light. And before I turned the job down, I called you and said, I've got to turn this job down. Thank you for everything you've done for me. And I told you why I had to turn the job down, and you went, hey, things aren't going to change between us. You have to do what you've got to do. And I called, boy, was he pissed. And then I found out later you got thrown under the bus for that, and I apologize to you for that.
You know what, man? It's business. It's all it is, man. Mm-hmm. And you know, if it doesn't work out, well, there's another one, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. And hopefully down the road, we've got something going on, maybe. You never know. We'll see.
Be repping for his cigar line one day.
That would be cool. You need to hire me someday.
Or see how the cards lay.
Let's do that sometime.
I'm a terrible boss.
What, Chris and Kyle and Gary?
You know, Chris and Kyle, they're softies.
Yeah.
You know.
Gary's cool, though. Gary's a fan of our show. Do you know that? Gary actually comments a lot on our shows.
Chris and Kyle call me up, and they're like, hey, you're going to Nicaragua November 2nd through the 9th. And I'm like, all right.
That's a long time to be in Nicaragua, though.
It was cool, though.
Yeah.
And they forwarded me the itinerary. Never met Gary Griffith. I'd only heard his name from Chris and Kyle. And so that they don't realize is that the bottom of the email says, Brandon needs to be there. This is from Gary. Gary's like, tell Brandon, make sure that Brandon's there. It's time that I meet him. I don't know Gary Griffith.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know anything about House of Emilio because, you know, I'll be honest, up until I took over, they didn't really have the greatest representation in Texas. Mm-hmm. So I show up and Gary Griffith walks up and he's like, hello, Brandon. It's nice to meet you. I'm Gary Griffith. And I honestly thought this is going to be a timeshare deal. They're going to take me down, wine me, dine me, and then try to get me to sell some cigars.
Yeah.
But I didn't know anything about the cigars, you know what I mean?
Because you had literally just started.
I just started. Yeah. And I meet Gary Griffith, and I'm just thinking, this is one of the smartest men I've ever met in my life. Right. And, you know, honestly, this isn't lip service, because you know I don't do that.
No.
And I look at him, and I said, Gary, it looks like I'm here, because you guys are going to timeshare me into selling House of Emilio. And he goes, Brandon, we'll get to that after we have a couple of drinks.
He's my kind of guy already, absolutely.
And I said, Gary, I make terrible decisions when I drink. Let's talk about it right now. So I'd never had anything from House of Emilio before. So I didn't know, is it great? Is it not great?
Right.
We sit down. He hands me, he goes, well, you know, what do you think about selling all of House of Emilio? And I looked at him. I just said it. You know, Gary, I don't know anything about these other sticks because you've been misrepresented in our state.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, well, we're going to have to change that. And he hands me an AF1.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Good stick.
Yeah, good stick.
I start smoking it, and I'm like, you're not going to come out and just say, dude, I dig this shit. You know what I mean? So we start talking, and he goes, so what do you think about carrying the rest of House Emilio? And he goes, if you don't, you can stay with Ezra Zion. You can keep on doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what?
Which isn't a bad gig.
Which isn't, no. I'm still kicking ass. Mm. And I looked at him and I go, there's three things, Uncle Gary. Or Gary. I go, number one, if I like it, I sell it.
Yeah.
Number two, when we're in public, you will refer to me as your nephew, and I will refer to you as my Uncle Gary. Mm-hmm. And he realized at this point I was about a half a bottle of rum, what's a Nicaraguan rum? Florida Cognac.
Yeah.
And he looked at me and he was like, okay. And then I go, third, I want a pinky ring. And right there, yeah. He was like, I haven't got it yet. But I was just joking. You know what I mean? But that pinky ring better be here by CBR Uncle Gary if you're watching the show. So I'm going to tell you, man, I started smoking all the blends, and it gets you real excited to get out of bed knowing no matter what I hand people, it's like boutique, and they're going to dig it, man.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with all the hardships that you got to avoid, all of a sudden I'm a real cigar rep. Mm-hmm. And people, you know, because before it was, you know, I had a great company. The product was very limited. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't have a million SKUs, and it was a lot of pipe tobacco.
Yeah.
And
then they changed the pipe tobacco. Because it went from Stokeby. So that hurt a lot.
You know what? That whole industry, that whole side of it, because pipe guys are some strange dudes.
Yeah.
But I had great success because the pipe tobacco was very good.
Mm-hmm.
And but, you know, since I come on board, you know, they've given me a huge amount of, they backed me up. They backed up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they promote everybody that has the product in the house. And, you know, it's been really good. And I'm a real cigar rep now, and it's very cool.
Very cool.
And while it's going to sound very mushy, but I'm being serious. Maybe you'll give me another cigar. Who knows? It's okay. But stop it, Nate. We're having a moment here. I'm having a Barbara Walters moment here.
Nate is calling Randy a vagina.
Yeah, well, you are what you eat. Anyway, so nevertheless.
And he's a dick.
He is a dick with spinach on it. Anyway, geez, God, we digress so badly on this show. Anyway, so
while
I would have loved to have had that job,
spinach dick,
and I think I would have been, and I think I would have been very good at it. And I know if I ever get one of these rep jobs, I will be very good at it. Endorsement. Anyway, but I don't think I would have been as good as you. And I don't mean that in any compliment. I'm just saying you were that good at what you do that Matt, even though he was upset, and Villiger stopped selling. It was weird. It was almost like, I guess, too many customers knew I was about to get that job and didn't get it. And it just stopped selling. And then our Stokeby tobacco, which was flying off the shelves, Villiger wasn't carrying it anymore. They had so Villiger sales died. But you would still call. You were still persistent. And you would still just want to just show Matt, hey, this is what I've got and everything. And every time you would leave, Matt would say, I want to buy from this guy. I really want to buy from this guy, but nothing sells here that he carries. And I said, I wish you would buy from the guy because he's a good dude. And, you know, with our history, I really want you to buy from the guy. And he goes, I can't. I mean, nothing sells. And so when you got the Ezra Zion job, we were both ecstatic. It was like, yes!
We can buy from him again.
Finally. Yay. And I remember your first time you came in here, and Matt ordered like 10, 15 boxes or something, whatever.
Yeah.
And Matt, and Brandon, as he walked out the door, we made eye contact. He looks at me and goes, I'm leaving Calypso with an order.
With an order. Holy crap. I felt like Jonas just got out of a whale, dude. You know, I was just like, I come in here
so awesome.
Six times a year
I wanted to hug you. I was like, we did high five.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, finally, Brandon gets an order from Calypso. And we've ordered since. Mm-hmm. We picked up the Guayacan. We picked up the 1502, which we will be reviewing the 1502.
Soon.
And that cigar rocks. But by the way, I thought I liked the 1502 better than this. But now I have to smoke the 1502 again because this cigar is fucking amazing.
It's pretty tasty.
You know, they're all just different animals, man. Mm-hmm. They're all different representations of what different people are trying to say.
I'm getting some like little floral notes on this at this point. Yeah.
Very pretty.
Yeah. Very nice. Okay, so we're going to take a break, come back for the last third, the Guayacan. All right, we're back for the last third of the Guaycon, and it's tasty.
Man, I love this cigar.
I am at the nubbing stage because I've been smoking it like a beast. Because these guys have been doing all the talking.
We've been chatting. Yeah.
Yep.
We're gonna let Brandon be a part of the show this last segment.
I'm not keeping my hopes high.
I got nothing to talk about besides 24. That's really about it.
24. Jack, it's back. Are you watching 24? Do you like 24?
I don't watch television.
I don't watch television either. Blow me up, dog. I watch three shows.
That's television.
And all of them are people getting hurt.
That's me. I watch Game of Thrones.
I watch Wipeout, Ridiculousness, and 24. Those are the three shows I watch.
Any of that?
A friend of mine works for the company that does a lot of special marketing promotion stuff. Mm-hmm. And last night he handed me, it looked like it's a mini 50-gallon drum, but mm-hmm. it's the entire Breaking Bad series special edition that you only get if you work for Sony.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of this.
And yeah, I saw it online.
It's pretty. I've never seen the shows, but.
When you're done watching it and you decide you don't want it, I'll take it off your hands.
Yes. We'll talk about that.
So when I say I don't watch TV, I mean I don't watch TV live.
No, I don't. I don't.
I never watch something when it's on.
I mostly stick to shows that are very short. They mm-hmm. have like 12 episodes, like Game of Thrones, Walking Dead, mm-hmm. 24 now, and that's pretty much it.
I started 24 is still doing hourly.
I know
it was supposed to be 2 hours in a day, and it's still doing an hour. I don't understand what it's doing.
Like an 8-part miniseries of him sleeping at some point in the
there
show.
Has to be all the piss breaks, you know. Yeah.
That was why they were supposed to do 2 hours, because you were supposed to actually see him, not actually see him taking a dump, but showing that he does have to
damn
do
it
this
Chloe enough. I'm out of toilet paper, you know. Just stuff like that.
The 45 minute scene after he went to Hooters where he just sweats.
Right. Yeah.
But Jack is back in a big time way.
Yeah,
and he's kicking ass, and it is so good. And by the way, Yvonne Strahovski, while hot,
mm-hmm. She is the female Jack Bauer. Yeah.
It's so awesome.
I mean,
for
honestly,
her.
If he decided I'm done with it, I don't want to do it anymore, I'd watch a show with her.
Yeah,
she kicks ass.
She won't, because he doesn't do anything else.
No,
because his movie career's kind of faded. He had a good movie career for a long time.
He
we talked about that.
Could always be the e-cigarette blue guy.
Yeah,
they look exactly alike.
Exactly. Yeah. But he doesn't do anything but made for video stuff now.
But well, you know, Kiefer does a lot of voice work.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of voice work.
He does a lot of cartoon stuff
and commercials and stuff.
Formerly known as the guy who was married to Julia Roberts.
Yeah.
Almost married to Julia Roberts.
Almost.
He left her at the altar.
Yeah, she married.
Good for him.
And she married Lyle Lovett.
That makes it awesome that Kiefer left Julia Roberts at the altar. Basically, not technically,
it
but basically.
Says, no matter awesome. How good looking she is, there's a guy that's sick
tired of her.
Yeah, exactly.
But 24's got an interesting plot.
Yeah, it's cool.
And spoiler alert, pause for the next 10 seconds. After the first episode, I texted you and said, I don't trust Tate Donovan.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a reason not to trust Tate Donovan.
Yeah. His name's Tate. Anybody with the name Tate,
and he dumped Jennifer Aniston.
My daughter's boyfriend's name is Tate.
Uh-oh. Keep an eye on that guy.
I got my shotgun out the other day. I was cleaning that shit in front
smell
of him.
Smell his fingers when he comes up. Smell his fingers.
I will fucking cut his fingers off.
I love the...
Like anything other than nerd.
I love the Bill Engvall line, and I've probably said it, but I've been drinking, so I don't care. I'm going to say it again. Where he says, every time
Tate,
a guy...
not Nate.
Yeah, Nate, totally cool.
Nate is cool. Tate, not so much.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you dump Jennifer Aniston in 98... You're the dumbest person on the planet.
Yeah.
That's okay. What she was on. Okay, but anyway, so Bill Engvall has a great look.
She's so thin. You know, honestly, I don't want to say so I like big women. I like big women.
You like big butts and you can't lie?
Yeah, I'm an honest man.
I'm all. They got to have the titty and the booty ratio has to be good.
Yeah, because if you bite them, you're getting
I'm a ratio guy.
That's why I'm a big Sofia Vergara guy, because she's
I'm a ratio guy.
Put it up. Put it up.
You can have small boobs and a small butt as long as they are racially aligned. I'm cool. I'm a ratio guy. That's what I am. But anyway, so where I was going... Oh, Bill Engvall's line. Back to your shotgun thing. Because, man, it is so irrelevant now that what I was going to say
mm-hmm.
that I'm going to say it anyway.
Okay. Go for it.
Because I'm going to be Mr. Irrelevant. Which is the story of my life.
I was going to say, anyway. that's every day. That's Monday through Friday
Weren't
for you.
Weren't you the original drummer for the Beatles? The
yes, I was Pete Best. I was the guy before Pete Best. And it's just stupid. But I don't even want to fucking tell it anymore. So, hey, this cigar rules.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done
cigar.
With my cigar. Or with
look at the smoke coming off that thing, man.
It's got waftage. It's got everything.
Some serious smoke coming off that baby.
Okay, so I have to ask you.
You are going to the nub, dude.
Dude, I'm totally going to the nub, yeah.
I have to ask you something. We all four love Todd Vance, but we also four love to kick him in the nuts. And he told us about this term waftage. Had you ever heard that in the industry? We had never heard that before until Todd told us about waftage.
All right. The true technical term of waftage is very similar to the pom pom. Okay, what you do is you fart into your hand, you bring it up right in front of their face, and you're like, bam, right there. And that is waftage.
I've only done that like three times.
Yeah, I do that all the time.
It is not cigar related because
he says waftage is the smoke coming from the butt.
Yes,
that's exactly what it is. That's exactly you just answered. You answered your own question.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Sick,
I know.
Boom.
Okay. Sorry.
Give me a minute.
So Todd's full of shit. Is what you're saying.
No.
Todd doesn't listen to our show, and he should. He's our most popular guest star, although you're probably getting up on the rankings. But
you know, something funny about
Todd's on four shows, and those four shows combined are over 6,000 views on YouTube alone with Todd.
It's probably him just clicking, click, click,
click, click, click. Our other shows combined are about 20,000. So yeah. It's so incredible that Todd's shows do so well.
Todd is an awesome dude. He is funny in a lot of respects. One, he's so honest. When he says stuff, you're just like, you want to say, oh, honey, a lot, because he's such an honest, good-hearted guy. If you ever think you're going to go have lunch with Todd, it'll always be Chinese. We run into each other, and you're like, hey, man, you want to do some lunch? Yeah, you want to get some Chinese? Dude, we've had lunch three times this week. I'm sick of Chinese food.
I vetoed him on that. We went out for a ride a couple of weeks ago, and I'm like, dude, I'm fucking hungry. And it was like 1 o'clock, and I hadn't eaten all day. He's like, so you want some Chinese? I'm like, no. Because everyone knows my thing about Chinese. I need warning. You have to tell me like a week in advance that next Tuesday we're going to have Chinese. And I'm fine with it. I'll eat it then. But you don't spring Chinese food on me.
I love Chinese. So he's I'll like, eat it whenever, man.
You want Chinese? And I'm like, no. He goes, what do you want? I said, I want like a salad. I like a chicken Caesar or a club sandwich or something like that. And he says, well, where do we have to go to that for that? I said, every place has a chicken Caesar or a club sandwich. That's not a big deal, Todd. So he's like, well, we'll figure out something. So we went to see Bob at Cigar Warehouse. And we walked in because another rep was there. So we just wanted to say hi. We're going to go next door. And he's like, there was a Subway next door. And there's a Subway. I'm like, how am I going to get a club sandwich or a Caesar salad there? He goes, they've got salads at Subway. I'm like, okay. Because I've sworn off Subway. I don't want to eat Subway ever again. But I had to go with Subway. But yeah, that's funny because you're the second person who has now told me that when Todd recommends lunch, it is Chinese food.
I will go to Chinese food with Todd.
Last week I'm in Arizona. And I'm thinking, all right, we're down here by Metro Center. We're going to go get some Hooters.
Okay.
And that shit hit my system so hard, I thought I was going to end up having to buy that rental car.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Astrino. It's about like Taco Bell, pretty much. You know,
it was so greasy, so dirty. Back in the day, we were all Iron Men.
Oh, yeah.
We could drink a bottle of olive oil.
Yeah.
Yeah, last week, man, I'm driving back to my hotel, and I'm like, okay, I'm on Peoria. I got 4 miles to my hotel. I should be okay. I got about a mile and a half in, and I thought, we're going to buy this car. Just bury me in this car.
Okay, because for the sake of our listeners, I want to tell the grossest story I've ever told in
my life. Yay, gross stories.
And it started from Matt telling me a story, and I won't tell his story, but it was bad. But the idea of shitting your pants, when's the last time you ever shit your pants?
Mm-hmm.
On the road?
Period. Anytime's the last time as an adult you shit your pants. And Matt told me a story like he was... I'm going to tell a story. So he was in San Antonio, and he was in the passing lane, and it was dead stop traffic. And he realized, oh, crap, I've got to go. And so he kept trying to make his way over, and he couldn't make it. So he just said, fuck it, and let it go.
Okay. So, in the car?
Yeah.
In his pants?
In his pants.
Well, he probably wears Depends anyway. Yeah, he's kind of old.
He wasn't that old then. So anyway, so I told this story, and it's my ex-wife's fault, or this never would have happened, but I had to go immediately, and I was like 5 blocks from my house, and it, you know, the time where it hits you, man, I gotta go now.
Yep.
And I'm like, just hold it. And I hit every fucking red light. It was four red lights between
every red light and every bump.
And I hit every red light, and I'm like, fuck! So I pull in the parking lot, we live in these apartments, pull in the parking lot, and I'm running to the front door, and we never locked our door, ever. The door was never locked. And I was like, I have just enough time to blast through this door, hit the bathroom. I will be fine. The door was locked. Pissed me off. Boom. I said, go. So my wife opens the door and goes, what happened? I'm like, why the fuck did she lock the door? Never mind. I got to go clean myself. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, get the get the washing machine ready. You don't need to know. And so anyway, we can take her there. And so she's like, what happened? I'm like, oh, God, I told her a story. I'm like, why was the door fucking locked? She goes, I don't know. It's just, it was an instinct. And I'm like, we've never, speaking of instinct, nobody's instincts more than mine does at this moment. It's like, God. Yeah, so when's the last time you've shat your pants?
Well, there's a La Quinta I'm not allowed back in. It was the second to last time that I've ever eaten Hooters, and we'll never eat at Hooters again. I have some Hooters, hot wings, so delicious,
yeah.
Breaded delicious chicken.
Mm-hmm. Holy crap.
It broke.
It totally just fell apart.
It did.
I get partway to the hotel.
It broke. All I did was squeeze.
Randy just broke the lighter. Is this a store lighter? Or was...
No, Nate donated it from
Nate
the store.
Just freaking destroyed it. Look at that.
All I did was squeeze.
The firing pin's right there.
Anyway.
Sounds like my episode of La Quinta.
Exactly.
Okay, so what's your La Quinta story? Man, right. Did we devolve this far that we're telling shitting yes. in your pants stories?
I get drop off. Sir. I drop off Shauna at her hotel, and I'm driving.
That was Nate.
Yeah, that was Nate.
I get back to my, I'm driving back to my hotel, and it kicks in, Hooters wings. So I'm like, whoo. You know, if I could have put this much concentration into algebra, yeah. I'd have a different career path.
Right? Rocket scientist.
I run in.
Brandon Holdsworth, rocket scientist.
I run into the La Quinta, and I look at the woman behind the counter, and I'm like, ma'am, where's the restroom? She goes, it's down this hallway on the right. So I do that whole penguin walk. I get down the hallway and I realize...
Where you can bounce quarters off your ass at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
And I realize there's no bathroom.
Oh, no.
So I run back up to the front and I go, ma'am, where is the bathroom now? She goes, I'm sorry, I'm new. It's down this hallway on the right.
Oh,
I run through and at this point you're already thinking, we're done.
I can't wait. It's over.
It was like that collective moment, you know, where the mad scientist knows he's going down.
Yeah.
So he hits the button and blows up the island with him on it.
Yeah.
Drop trowel, and as the pants hit the floor, projectile shit across the entire bathroom.
Wow.
And it was so bad, I finally just thought, you might as well sit down because you're covered in it anyways. I sit down, and I just start laughing, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, this is terrible. It's terrible. This is so terrible. Someone's going to have to clean this shit up. So I sit there and I clean myself up. I'm just laughing because I'm like, we're never eating Hooters again. Clean it all up. I use like a whole roll of toilet paper. 50 flushes later, I get this place cleaned up. And as I stand up, everything that was on my hairy ass falls down and just coats the entire bathroom again. It was like Montezuma's revenge is revenge.
Yeah.
So at this point, I take off my
revenge
socks,
squared.
Take off the underwear, roll them up real nice, throw them in the garbage. And I'm thinking, okay, note to self, we're never staying at La Quinta in Houston ever again. Get out to my room, hose myself off, throw the pants away, we're done with this shit.
Literally.
Tell my wife, yeah, we're done. And so 2 months later, I'm walking, it says La Quinta, and I'm like, that was in San Antonio. No, it wasn't, because as I pulled into that parking lot, I thought, oh, fuck, this is like meeting Randy for the first time. This fucking sucks. So I walk in.
Thank you, bro.
I walk in, I look around, and I'm like, okay, none of those people were here. And I walk up to the counter, and I'm like, good evening. She goes, hello, sir. Name? I go, Brandon Holdsworth. And the woman looks down at the screen, and then she looks back up at me really slowly, and she goes, welcome back, Mr. Holdsworth. And all I could think was, man, that's shitty.
You know,
okay, when's the last time you shit your pants?
There's big plastic bags in the bathroom for you to like okay. spread out on the...
It's like you're on your grandma's yeah. couch.
When's the last time you shit your pants?
No, mine's recent because I'm on hydrocodone with my legs.
Shit, so, it's recent.
Yeah, mine's very recent. Yeah, it was like seriously, it was the last Lincoln. Week. Seriously, yeah. It was the whole, I'm sitting on the couch with my leg up and I'm like, eh, I can fart, I'm good. Nope, can't. Squeeze it, walk over.
It felt like a duck.
Yeah. But no, my best story, though, is my wife and I were getting ready to go on a vacation. We're getting ready to go to Mexico to, not Puerto Vallarta, but yeah, Puerto Vallarta. And she finds out she's pregnant, like right before we're going. I'm like, ah, crap, you're not going to be able to have fun. You can't drink. I'll drink for you. You know,
America.
So yeah, so we go anyway. First person we meet over there, first couple we meet over there is from Dallas. Like, oh, you're from Dallas? Blur. The rest of the evening's a complete blur. All I know is I'm doing tequila shots and I'm gone. So my wife apparently and this guy helped get me back to the room. The next 2 days, I'm in the room. I'm down.
Well, are we talking Devil's Three-Way here? Or
yes.
Or just helping you back to
no,
the room?
No, it was just helping me back to the room.
Okay.
So the next 3 days, the next 2 days, she's just on the beach, just having a good old time. I'm in the room. I got Montezuma's Revenge and hungover. And I... can't hold anything in. It's like I get to the bed, I'm laying down, I'm freaking sweating my balls off. I'm like, I got a fart all over the bed. I'm like, no. So I'm pulling the sheets up, throwing them in the corner, go to the bathroom, take a shower, come back. As soon as I get back to the bed, I got to go again, go back to the bed. It was nonstop. So luckily, the AC broke.
You had perpetual shit in
your pants. Perpetual shit in my pants, yeah, for like 2 days. The AC broke, so we got to change rooms. And the look that guy gave me, we went to go get the key. My wife's like, you go get the key. I'm like, I don't want to go get the key. She's like, I'm not going to get the key. You go get the key. So I walk over to get the key. Guy's like, looks at the thing, looks at me. He's like, here's your room key, sir. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And I was like, does the AC work? Oh, the AC works. And there's plenty of towels in the bathroom. I'm like, nice.
That's awesome.
Thank you. Okay.
Hopefully they're the ivory white.
Exactly.
This isn't a shit in your pants story, but it's almost as bad as both your stories, maybe actually twice as worse. Mm. I had a part-time job where, I know, Nate, don't judge me when I'm talking. Don't criticize me during the show. You can wait till after the show. Nate's sitting here going,
pfft. Yeah.
Anyway, so
it's hard to criticize somebody wearing when you're wearing like a complete Old Navy ensemble. I'm just kidding.
Actually, yes. Everything I'm wearing.
It's Old Navy? Old Navy. Nice.
If it wasn't for the shirt that I made, it would be all Old Navy.
So I had this part-time job where I threw a Wall Street Journal paper out. And so it's middle of the night. It's like 2 or 3 in the morning. And I was in these apartments, you know, where it's like gated. And everything, all the rooms are indoors, you know, so there's no exposed apartment doors. Everything's hallways and everything. And all of a sudden, I got to go.
I
you know the story.
I love the story.
And I'm like, oh, crap, I got to go. Oh, crap. And I knew there was no way, because you had to park in a parking garage. And there's no way I'm getting out of this apartment, into this parking garage, driving to a 7-Eleven or whatever. That's just not going to happen. I've got to go within the next 30 seconds. So I'm running down the hall. I literally was running down the hall, hoping there was a bathroom somewhere, and there was no bathroom. And I'm opening any door that doesn't have an apartment number, trying to open every door. And finally, I opened a door, and it was a maintenance door, and it was where they kept their mops and their paper towels and their toilets. And there was a mop bucket. So I sat on the mop bucket and dumped. And they had toilet paper, so it was fine. I had to use the toilet paper. And I felt so bad. I'm like, this poor maintenance guy, because I used to be in the apartment business, and I know this guy's thinking that's the last thing he's going to expect. So I looked at my wallet. I had a $20 bill. So I left a $20.
To go back to community college right there.
So I had a $20 bill in my wallet, so I stuck a $20 bill under the mop bucket as a sorry that I dumped in your mop bucket.
Man, this is many years before I was married. My first bachelor pad, I spent, you know, I was living at mom and dad's, and I thought, when we move out, we're going to have the ultimate bachelor pad. You know, this is probably 1993, 1994.
I love 1993, 1994.
Me too.
I went out and I bought $30 towels for my bathroom. I mean, I bought
KitchenAid. Okay, now who's gay?
I wanted to make it so when women came over, they were like, absolutely. Dude.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
I want to make, you know, no. I wanted them to tell their friends. Took a shower over Brandon's place. His towels are so soft. They're beautiful. I had Henkel's knives. I made sure that everything that when you walked in, you were like, all I need to do to be Martha Stewart is keep having sex with this guy. Mm-hmm. And so I have these beautiful, and I'll never buy ivory white towels again.
No, never.
This, I think she worked up in Addison Circle. I think her name was Brenda or something, man. She comes over, we do the deed, right? And she was a
I love how he mentions the chick's name and where she lived.
I'm not a name dropper. You know what I mean?
I understand.
We do the deed dirty, and I put it to her like a man would do, because that's how I do things. And
you're my favorite rep of all time. Might be my favorite person of all time. Steve
thanks. Asshole.
Okay.
He's my favorite Brandon. I'm sorry. That didn't help either.
Dickhole.
Anyway, sorry.
Go ahead.
After we're done, we're laying there in our own juices, and she goes, I need to. Hey, I didn't ruin your story yet. And so she gets up, and she's like, I need to wash my face. I need to go clean up a little bit before we go to bed. I'm like, yeah, that's cool. I got to pee, because you always have to pee after bed.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
She goes in, and she washes her face. But I'm thinking, wash your face, you know, put soap on your hands, clean yourself off, use a washcloth. Mm-hmm. She goes in, splashes water on her face. Did you guys ever see The Last Starfighter?
Yeah.
She goes in, and this fucking bitch takes my brand new $30 towel, puts water on her face, and then takes a $30 ivory white towel and goes,
wipes her makeup and shit off on it.
I'm like, she comes out and she's like, all right, I'm going to bed. I'm like, cool, I gotta go pee. I walk in and I'm standing there with huge fonts taking pee. And I look, and in my fucking mirror's reflection, I see her fucking face on my towel. She left like $26 worth of Amway makeup on my $30 towel. And I'm like, oh, you fucking did not do this. Right. You gotta leave right now. Jeez. That towel cost me like a half a shift at the Rainforest Cafe to make the money to pay for this bitch.
That's when you just go back to bed with your sponsor and just slap her in the face a bunch of times until you get your money back.
I took it up a level. Yeah. I go back and I lay down in bed and I go, I just want you to know I love you.
I love you. All right.
She got up and she was fucking gone. Good. And all I could think was, we're going to throw that towel away. Like,
and on that note,
we're going to throw the show away.
Yeah, check us out at all the normal places you can check us out at. iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spreaker, Stitcher, Podcastland, YouTube.
Podomatic, Facebook, yeah. Twitter. We're everywhere.
And we have no shout-outs.
We got a couple shout-outs. Scott Cognac, who we keep leaving out and should never leave that dude out. Mm-hmm. He is our most loyal, most devoted listener. Of course, the great Jeff Hirschhauer in Cincinnati, our second most loyal listener.
And Julio B.
Julio B. had a funny comment. Oh, he watched Bad Kids Go to Hell, and okay. He commented on that he thought it was good.
And I had
the great Chanel Ryan. Oh, did you see that Toby Wilkins tweeted me?
I don't know who
the
that is.
The great Toby Wilkins, the director, writer, and creator of Splinter.
Oh, cool. No, I didn't see that.
So that was very cool. Splinter is one of our favorite horror movies. If you haven't seen it, you need to watch it.
Chris Grubbs, also. Thank you, Chris.
Jeff Hirschhauer, I'm sorry. Kirk from Poolside Cigar Reviews.
Yeah, Jeff Hirschhauer on Facebook.
Well, yeah, I said Jeff. Desert Cigar Reviews. Mm-hmm. And there was another cigar, GW Products. And he clarified that, yes, he does have like three Twitter handles. Yes, and he's not trying to get shout outs all three times, but he is following us, and thank you, GW, whatever, Graham Warner, I can't remember his last name.
Dan Gum also on Google.
And House of Emilio, mm-hmm, tweets us all the time.
Jose Blanco.
Retweet us. Yes, he did. Yep. And so, yeah, thank you guys and girls. Julio's kind of a girl because he has a girl picture. So
yeah.
I'm going to classify him as a girl, but I'm joking. But anyway, thank you guys. And if you comment, like us, follow us, or anything on Twitter, Facebook, mm-hmm, iTunes, anything, we will give you a shout out. And next week will be our cities again. We haven't, mm-hmm, our cities in a few weeks. Yep. We'd like to list our top 10 cities that we're getting our views.
Got a couple more on Twitter too, real quick here, because I have it up. Jeff Hagen, Casey Hagen Crux, which I guess is connected to Jeff Hagen. Barry Coffee Company. If you guys want to send us some coffee, we'll drink your coffee while we're smoking our cigars. Seathroad, Don Abram, Arlen is amazing, which apparently she's hot, so she is amazing. And Lucy Fights, we have a couple more lady followers, which is nice.
Did you just drink beers with me?
No, I would never do that.
Thank you all for following and listening, and we always appreciate it. So absolutely. As always, it's been great.
Can I throw some shout-outs?
No,
yes,
you can't.
Brandon,
we're done.
Can throw out shout-outs.
I would like to throw a shout-out to Ezra Zion Brandon on Twitter. He's awesome.
That dude sucks. He follows me on Twitter. I can't stand that guy.
Cigar Chairman, one of my good homeboys. I hung out with him last week, and if you are looking for House of Emilio cigars for any of your shops, just let me know. I am available at Ezra Zion, Brandon at EzraZion.com. And as well, you can always get a hold of me at www.BrandonHolsworth.com, your website for all things that are totally me, Brandon Holsworth. Bam, that just happened.
Did that really just happen?
HOLZWORTH.
And it's Brandon, not Brian.
Not Brian.
But you need to get that, URL.
Yeah, I need
Brandon, not Brian Holdsworth.
Better than Spencer Drake.
Why are you throwing Spencer under the bus?
He's a good friend.
I like Spencer. We like Spencer. Spencer's a fan of the show. He's tweeted us several times. But anyway, so
it's been great
talking with you. See you later, Brandon.
Bye.
Later, Pee Wee.